This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Rita Liu. You're listening to Raise a Game. Professor Mushtaq Al-Attabi is back talking about his book, Think Like an Engineer. This is also the name of our series. We're on to our fourth topic. And today is emotional intelligence, measuring the immeasurable. When I think of emotional intelligence, I don't normally connect that with engineers.
Well, you are probably not the only one. But this is not things, yeah. not the way things should be. Uh-huh. Engineers are people who build products and systems to be used by other people. Uh-huh. And it's a key and important thing for them to feel for the others and understand how they make their decisions and how do they make their even purchasing decisions. So that's why probably this is increasingly is going to differentiate an average engineer from a brilliant or a successful engineer.
Okay, why is emotional intelligence important?
Well, if you think of us as human beings, ultimately what we are looking for is happiness, to be appreciated, to be connected, and working in teams, for example, which is a very necessary thing, not only for engineers, but also for other professionals and people in general. These are things can only be achieved when we understand the role of emotions in our lives and in how we perceive even the quality of our lives. I don't think anyone would challenge the statement that the quality of the life that we lead is equivalent to the quality of the relationships that we have with our customers, with our superiors, with our peers, and with our family and friends. So hence, emotional intelligence is extremely important for both practical and also life kind of reasons.
Okay, I know this is something that you do with your massive open online course, MOOC, you call it, right?
Yes.
You did something with MOOC, Encouraged Emotional Intelligence. What did you do there?
Well, I have a course that's called Success with Emotional Intelligence that I teach to my students, but I also offer it as a free course for students from all over the world, and we currently have around more than 3,000 students from 140 different countries. So when I looked at emotional intelligence, a lot of people would have a very fuzzy kind of idea of what does emotional intelligence mean. So being an engineer, I would like to put things in a more concrete way. So the best model that I found that describes emotional intelligence is the one that developed by Daniel Goleman.
Mm-hmm.
So emotional intelligence, to him, has four components. And this starts by self-awareness. Moves to self-management. So once we are aware of how do we feel, we can manage ourselves and emotion, and eventually we move into social awareness. So we are aware of the role of emotions in a social setup. But ultimately, it's about the relationship management.
Okay, so social awareness is how our behavior affects people around us, and then the ultimate relationship management, so we know how to deal with other people.
Yes, yes. So when I looked at that, I found it an amazing way to understand how emotions would work. But the book that Daniel Goleman has written doesn't have concrete tools on how to build these skills. So I sort of developed and compiled a set of tools that I taught to my students. They are very simple tools, but very interestingly, the first time I ran this course, I measured the emotional intelligence of my students before and after the course. And I also used a control group. So I measured their emotional intelligence at the beginning of the semester, and 14 weeks later, I measured it again. And the interesting thing was, I found that the emotional intelligence on average for my students grew on almost all the traits that are contributing to emotional intelligence. And the other control group, their emotional intelligence sort of dipped over a semester, which is a very interesting thing. I'm doing more research on that, and still it's preliminary stages. But often we claim that education will make you happier, but it's just a claim, and I think we really need to re-examine that. So we have four components: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and also relationship management. And there are simple tools for each and everyone that the students have to do either on a weekly or a daily basis.
So what do they do?
Well, for the self-awareness, if we recall probably from episode one, we talked about the old brain and the middle brain. Mm. And middle brain is where emotions are processed. And we said that the middle brain and the old brain are incapable of language. So, and that's probably the reason why when someone asks us about how do we feel, we either just say, I'm fine or I'm good. But if we are pushed for an answer, we'll find it actually very difficult to describe our emotions, because the part that processes emotions in our brain is incapable of language. Mm. The part that is capable of language is the neocortex or the new brain. Mm. So there is a daily exercise that's called My Emotions Today. Mm. And online, each and every student needs to go there and then pick a number of adjectives that we provide that forces them to put words to how do they feel at the moment when they were completing this exercise. So in the beginning, students were even reporting that it's almost like torture, you know, to try to pinpoint your emotions. So, and that's why we gave them a list of adjectives to select from. Uh-huh. Now, interestingly, as time goes by, this process becomes much easier.
Okay.
First, because they are getting their new brain to exercise that control or that awareness of what's happening in the middle brain. Mm-hmm. And also because they are seeing other people who are performing that exercise on a daily basis, and they are getting cues from them. Mm-hmm. So after a couple of weeks, it becomes very relatively easy to say, how do you feel now?
And that's so important, right? Because when we are able to express ourselves how we feel, we're just a lot more relaxed. We're just a lot more, you know, because sometimes we know there are a lot of things going through our head. If we can verbalize it, we actually feel a lot more better.
That's right. Because being able to verbalize it means we are aware of it. Mm. And that awareness is very important, because all the emotions are okay. They are not to be suppressed.
Yes.
They are to be understood and acknowledged.
Right.
So once we reach that stage, then you could move on to the next stage, which is management. Mm. So if you think about it, the reason why we fail to manage our emotions and we get into bursts of anger and so on is because we are probably unaware when the emotion emerged in the first time.
Yeah.
So when we are aware, we say, look, I feel angry and I acknowledge my anger and I choose not to respond now.
Yes.
So that kind of exercise happens. Now, interestingly, as we move on, students start to report things like, I noticed anger, I was talking to a colleague, but I've noticed anger coming in, and then I decided to channel this differently or to respond later. The course progresses, the more people from all over the world start to report things like that, which told me that this thing is really working. Mm. Another exercise that we use to enable us to have better self management is what I call brain rewiring,
right,
which is an exercise of gratitude.
All right, and I'll go into this this brain rewiring in just a moment. I'm here with Professor Mushtaq Al-Attabi in our Think Like an Engineer series. Stay tuned to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning, this is Frida Liu, Professor Mushtaq Al-Attabi here in our Think Like an Engineer series. We talk about emotional intelligence, measuring the immeasurable. You know, just early on you were talking about this, the massive open online course that you do, MOOC, and discussing self-awareness and self-management and how you got people to use adjectives to explain how they feel. Maybe in the future you can use emoticons.
Yes.
New generation seems to understand that. Now, it's a very interesting process there. And you also talk about how you help them in brain rewiring. How do we rewire our brain?
Well, it's a fact that if we keep on thinking in a certain way, there will be new connection happening in our brain. And these are, you know, similar to wires and cables that we have in our devices. So brain rewiring is an exercise of gratitude. It's not a new thing. A lot of religion tells you that being grateful is good. Mm. Socially, it's good to be grateful. But we often forget to be grateful. And also, we often take things for granted. So what I've created is, again, a daily exercise where every student need to mention the five things that they are grateful for on a daily basis.
Mm.
Now, in the beginning, people say, that's very difficult. I don't know, I have nothing to be grateful for. You know, my life is sad, or I live in a very poor country, or I have this major loss, or whatever. Then we start to say, look, you should be grateful for the fact that you are able to take this course. You should be grateful for the fact that you have eyes, ears, hands. You should be grateful for the fact that you could drink water, air. And then they realize that there are such important things, but we just take for granted.
Yeah.
And only, God forbids, if we lose them, then we start to sort of be grateful for them. So people start to be grateful for other colleagues, for things that happen in their life, for a good night's sleep, for hot coffee, for hot shower, and things like that. And again, as we move on, people start to learn from each other on how to be even more grateful.
Mm.
So I have some of my online students who decided to take the brain rewiring home, and she sort of forced her kids to have post-it notes and stick them somewhere and have to say the five things that they are grateful for on a daily basis. So this way, the science tells us if you do brain rewiring for long enough time, if we put you in a fMRI machine, we could actually see probably even a different kind of brain because there are different wiring there.
Okay. Now, it's very interesting when you talk about that, but also, you know, how does emotional intelligence help in the workplace? You know, you get these bosses, I just want to get the job done.
Yes. But you see,
don't bring your emotions here.
Sure. I think the key thing here is we need to decide what is the job. So if the job is just to put few things together and you don't care about your staff retention, you don't care about your customer happiness, you don't care, then that's fine. but I don't think there's anyone now could actually say that the business is successful if key people are resigning.
True.
No one can say that the business is successful just because you've achieved certain indicators while your customers are leaving you because they are, you know, being unsatisfied and being unhappy. So feeling happy and satisfied and feeling cared for is an extremely important thing. It's probably the number one job of a boss, of a successful boss or a leader, whether to take care of his or her people within or their customer outside the organization. So I think there is no choice but to be, you know, familiar and aware and build things so that people feel their emotional well-being is taken care of.
Right. Professor Mushtaq Al-Attabi in our Think Like an Engineer series today is about emotional intelligence, measuring the immeasurable. Next week, the last topic for this series, Shoot the Boss, Leadership and Accountability. Stay tuned for that next week. Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.